Wherever you may be tuning in from today, I want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Today, we're going to continue talking out of Revelation. We're going to talk about what our Father actually shows us in His Word about the last days. And if you want to see these scriptures that are actually written out that our Father has me use here, you can go to ijnministries.net. Free resource out there. Tons of different studies that our Father's had me do. These podcasts, if you want to go back and listen to some that are a little bit older that may have dropped off Spotify or iTunes, you can go out to ijnministries.net and see what's out there. But today, Revelation 8, grab your Bibles, and always, and we can't say this enough, please prove everything that I'm writing with the Word, because I know what our Father is having me teach here goes against what a lot of people are teaching out there. And that's why we use so many scriptures in this, because I want you to see what God actually has said, not what man says that God has said, but look at what our Father actually has to say. And then you'll be able to, for yourself, have peace of what's going on and how our Father isn't out to get people during the last days. He's actually out to set them free. So grab your Bibles and let's dive into Revelation chapter 8. So John starts off and he says, "And when he, the Lamb, broke open the seventh seal, there was silence for about a half hour in heaven." So remember the seven seals, front and back, our Father showing us everything that's happening in eternity, everything that's happening on the last days. The number seven is perfection. The scrolls were written, was written on front and back. So complete, Jesus is showing us in the last days in their entirety. And there's silence when they break open the seventh seal, okay? So what's kind of interesting is in Jewish temple worship, there was always a period of silence when the priests were making the incense offering. An incense offering in the Bible and in temple worship, it represented our prayers being offered to our Father. Okay, so our prayers are being offered to our Father. And in the temple worship, and when there was a temple in Jewish tradition, there was a moment of silence. There was a period of silence before those prayers were actually offered up. And here we see that happening in heaven as well, before the seventh seal is opened. And we're going to see in verse 3 coming up that our prayers come up before our Father and they're fragrant. They're like incense. So this is kind of mirroring, it seems like, what happened in temple worship when Moses and Aaron had set up temple worship. And so when it comes to incense and prayer in the Bible, if you ever want to see what it was talking about, look at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 6. It says, "You shall put the altar of incense in front and outside of the veil that screens the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you." Psalms 141:2 says, "And let my prayers be set forth as an incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And in Luke 1:10, it says, "And the throng of people were praying outside in the court at the hour of incense burning." So it's kind of plain to see in the Bible that incense is a representation of our prayers. And that makes sense because God loves us to communicate with him, right? Jesus, when he was around and he was here as a man, he would go out all night and he would pray all night, having communication with our Father. And the Bible says, if we say that we're in him, we ought as a service to walk as he walked. So, you know, prayers in the Old Testament said, if my people will humble themselves and pray. So prayer is very important. God loves our prayers. And it's like a sweet fragrance to him. But there's this brief moment of silence before those prayers are offered. And in what God is showing us here is that he's heard our prayers, right? He hears them. There's a brief moment of silence. God understands what we're going through. Because remember, we have a high priest who can feel what it's like to be us. Because he was tempted in every way like we were, yet with never sinning. So this brief moment of time is kind of showing our Father hears us. It's clear. There's not a lot of noise. There's not a lot of clamor going on. It's showing us plainly, you know, God knows what we need and what we're asking for. I think what's also kind of cool to notice about incense is that it's before the mercy seat of our Father. It's not before judgment, vengeance, or his wrath seat, but it's before his mercy seat. And true Holy Spirit-inspired prayers are for mercy. And they're not just for us, but those who have sinned against us. Because a person who's truly filled with the Holy Spirit, their prayer life is more about other people than it is about themselves. Because we're one with Jesus, whoever lives to intercede for us so that we're saved to the uttermost. So if we're one with him and he's our head, we're ever living to serve and to intercede for others. So true Holy Ghost-inspired prayer is our Father using us to pray for others. And what's it say in the Bible? It says if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be the biggest servant. So we see that same thing happening in our prayers, right? We're serving others through our prayers, and it's before the mercy seat. It's not before judgment. It's not before wrath. It's not before vengeance. It's before mercy. And that's always kind of cool to, you know, for me to see, because, you know, I think so many times the Bible, you know, when troubled times come, a lot of times we'll start focusing on ourselves, right? We'll start focusing on what I need, whether it's a health issue or a loss of a job or some other thing that's come against our, you know, into our lives. And so the world wants us to focus on ourselves. You know, the world will say, you know, God helps those who help themselves, right? But the truth is, it's exactly the opposite. We reap what we sow. So if you really want to be blessed and you really want to serve in the power of our Father's might, you live a life for others and not for yourself. And like Jesus said, what good is it if you're only praying for those who love you, or you're only praying for those of your family? You know, he says even the heathen do that. So the beauty of our prayers and the beauty of the mercy seat and why it's so fragrant to our Father is because the Holy Spirit will have us pray for those who are sinning against us, pray for those who are despitefully using us. And during the last days, there's going to be a lot of people. Remember, they're going to be prideful and arrogant and boastful and haters of good. So they're going to be coming against us. But our Father is going to have us praying for them, just like he does now, has us pray for those that despitefully use us and bless those that curse us. In the last days, when we are a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish or any such thing, that's only going to be magnified more and more. John goes on in Revelation 8:2, and then he says, then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, as in earlier verses, seven always represents perfection, and the angels are messengers. So Jesus is showing us that the message of our Father is perfect. It's always perfect. God's word is perfect. It's what will set us free. His word is alive and active. And it's always more than a conqueror, because Jesus is the word, right? So God's word is always more than a conqueror. And we see that the message of our Father and the message of the last days is perfect. Trumpets, think of a trumpet. They're loud and they're used to announce things like when a king arrives or a battle's beginning. So the seven trumpets are God showing us that the message of the end times is perfect and that it'll be loudly proclaimed. Remember that there are going to be so many people saved out of every tribe, every country, and every kingdom during the last days that we're not going to be able to count them. So the message, the last day message, the message of mercy, because remember, the incense comes up before the mercy seat. Our prayers come up before the mercy seat. So the mercy and love of our Father during the last days is going to be loud. It's going to be proclaimed boldly. And the one sign of Jesus' return is the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to every nation. So if you're here during the last days, you're going to be used to boldly and loudly proclaim the perfect message of Christ. Look at Romans 10:4, and it says, but how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed, in whom they have no faith, on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him, adhere to and trust and rely on him, of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? Revelation 7, 9 says, and a vast host appeared, which no one could count. Remember? That's how we know that everybody, that the last day's message is going to be loud and it's going to be victorious, is because no one can count it. And so when you think of the last days and think, and a lot of people saying they're going to be raptured out of here, they're missing what the Bible is actually telling us. And the Bible clearly tells us that if you're asked to be here by our Father during the last days, you're going to be used to proclaim a loud and perfect message. Why anybody would want to be taken away is just beyond me, because that doesn't show any love. That doesn't show any compassion. And it's cowardly. And we're not cowards. In Christ, we're more than conquerors. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. We need to share that with each other all the time. And I think that's why there's a blessing when you read Revelation and when you hear it being read, and you're not adding to it and you're not taking away from it, and you're looking at how it fits in with the whole Bible, because you'll see during the last days, when people are going to be arrogant and they are going to be prideful and there is going to be an antichrist and a false prophet trying to come against us, that God will use his body in unbelievably perfect and great ways. And it's going to be uber successful. And you should want to be part of it. Now take a look at 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. It says, not that we are fit, qualified, and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or to claim or count anything as coming from us. But our power and ability and sufficiency are from God. It is He who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of the new covenant of salvation through Christ. Not ministers of the letter of a legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. And during the last days, when our Father is going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh, and the one sign is going to be the gospel of the kingdom preached to every nation, and an uncountable number of people are going to be set free and saved out of every nation during that time. See, this is what we need to encourage each other with. And I know Hollywood is going to make movies that are going to try to make, cause us to be frightful and fearful of the last days. And doom and gloom preachers, you know, who talk about, you know, hell and always trying to get God's vengeance on people who don't agree with them, you know, they're going to try to make you fear the end days. But we have not been given a spirit of fear, but we've been given a spirit of peace, love, and a sound mind. And the sound mind, the mind of Christ, because you have the mind of Christ, is mercy. And you want to be used by God, not just to bless those who agree with you, but to truly be used and bless those who disagree with you. And not those who just disagree with you, but those who actively come against you. That's how you know when the love of God is truly in you. Because remember, love doesn't even notice when it's been wronged. And you have Jesus making your Father known to you, so that the love that's in Him, the very love of Christ, is in you as well. And Christ is in you. That's who you are. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And desire, eagerly desire, that your Father use you to be a blessing to others each and every day, whether it's today or whether it's the last days or whenever. Because just like in Revelation 3, God's going to make those who were of Satan come and learn from you that they were loved, that you were loved, and they are loved, and everybody's loved. They're going to come and learn from you. And mercy and forgiveness Remember, Jesus says, if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. So you want to be here. You want to be used by the Holy Spirit to forgive people, even when they're at their worst. That's when you truly know you're one with Christ. They crucified Jesus.